Now let's continue on and finish the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles 2013. Now it talks about that they will live 100 years. It also says that the infant will die 100 years. But the sinner who is 100 years shall be accursed. Now then, if they are righteous, let's see what happens at the end of that 100 years. The sinner who is accursed and dies will be put in the grave. Why? Because those who commit the unpardonable sin have to die twice. So they will be buried and await the resurrection of the wicked, which is the second part of the resurrection of the last great day. But what about people who qualify? If they're faithful to the end, let's see where we can get from the New Testament, which tells us what's going to happen to them. Now we know in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it says, it's given to men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, everyone who's righteous is going to die once. Now let's look at an example that is at the return of Christ. And when it comes time for the resurrection, there will be those people who will not have died. What's going to happen to them? All right, let's come to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. So let's go there and see what this tells us. Talks about the resurrection. Now, the first resurrection through the millennium will already have been passed. So let's look at it concerning those who remain alive. What happens to them? All right, 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. Because we need to answer the question. If they die, why would they be put in the grave? Then you would have multiple resurrections down through the millennium. Yet it says it's given to men once to die, and after that the judgment. Well, during the millennium, they have a judgment upon them. And when they have been faithful to the end, the judgment is going to be eternal life. So what's going to happen when they reach that point of 100 years and they have been faithful? The sinner who has not been faithful will die and will be buried. And everyone will know that that person is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, let's pick it up here. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in exactly the same way also, those who have fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now they have to get up there to the sea of glass and be with him, so when he comes, he will bring them. So Paul is telling the result that's going to happen before it takes place. For this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall in no wise or no way precede those who have fallen asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first, as we see in verse 18. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of an archangel, because archangels are in charge of other angels, and they're going to harvest all the people being resurrected in the first resurrection. And with the trumpet of God, because it's the last trump, the seventh trump of Revelation 11, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right. That we understand. Now let's notice verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds for the meeting with the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. then we come back to the earth, as it says here in verse 14. Okay. Now, what happens when we're caught up in the air? We know that this physical body must be transformed from flesh to spirit. Now, in order for that to happen then, and still fulfill the scripture that says, it's given to men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, if they have the judgment before, and they come to the end of their life, what is going to happen? Now, we have to deduce this from the scriptures in the Bible. So far, we know that those who are alive when Christ returns will be caught up in the air and meet him. Now, we know that in the process, they're going to have to be changed from flesh to spirit. So we come here to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. We know they're not going to meet Christ in the air as physical human beings. So they're here on earth. They see those who are dead raised first, go up to the sea of glass and be with Christ. They're remaining here. And then what happens? They are caught up. So what happens when they are caught up? What happens when you are transformed from flesh to spirit? Does that not cause the physical body to die? Quickly transformed into a spirit body. That would have to happen in order to meet the requirement that it's given to man once to die. So, let's read it here, beginning in verse 50. Behold, I show you a mystery. The resurrection is the final mystery of God for us in the realm of this earth. There are other mysteries of God, which God is going to show us, going on into all eternity at a later time. Now, verse 50. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep. So you're not going to die. If you're alive when the resurrection takes place, you're not going to be dead and buried. But we shall all be changed. So when you're changed, that has got to be an instantaneous death and resurrection. So then all the scriptures are harmonized with that. Verse 52, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, those during the millennium that are faithful and alive, when it comes time that they are ready to enter into the kingdom of God spiritually, it's going to be an instant death and change. Would have to be. Therefore, all the scriptures have been fulfilled when that occurs. Now then, the sinner is put into the ground, buried, accursed, because they have committed the unpardonable sin. They have rejected God's plan here being on earth. And so that will take care of the sinner. Now, when we come to the end of the millennium, we have a very unusual problem, which is this. Those who sin will not be able to live to be 100 to be put in the grave. Now, what's going to happen in the last 100-year period? There will be those who will reject salvation. Now, what's going to happen to them? See, it's going to be the greatest case of Laodiceanism that has ever been. Because, you see, they come into a world, and here it all is amazing the way God is going to make it during the millennium. And all of the things that they see and do and everything around them is going to be accepted as normal. Now, when they begin to reject God's way, God is going to let them sin. And then what's going to happen to them? Well, let's look at some things that God has done in the past concerning sinners. What happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned? Well, they were removed from the Garden of Eden. They were exiled. What happened to Cain when he didn't repent after killing his brother Abel? He was removed even further, so his exile was further away. What happened when Israel sinned? Let's come here to 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, and let's read what happened to Israel. Later, the same thing happened to Judah because they didn't learn the lesson. Okay? All right, it talks about how, beginning in chapter 17, that the children of Israel were carried off in captivity. And here's why. They didn't walk in the way that God wanted them to walk. They had their sins. So here's the last generation of the children of Israel in the land of Israel. Now, there's no time for them to live out their lives and die because God is going to send them off into exile and let them die someplace else. So here's what God does because they went against him. And God, being the same yesterday, today, and forever, is going to do the same thing at the end of the millennium. Verse 8, 2 Kings 17. And this is referring to the children of Israel. And walked in the statutes of the nations whom the God cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which the nations had made. Now the children of Israel secretly did these things that were not right against the Lord their God. They built high places in all their cities for themselves, from the watchtower to the fortified city, and they set up images and groves from themselves in every high hill and upon every green tree. They burned incense to in all the high places, like the nations whom the God removed before them, and they practice evil things to provoke him to anger. Now, what's going to happen to those in that last 100-year period of the millennium when they refuse to obey? They'll be given many chances to repent. Now, what's going to happen because they didn't repent and they are not yet ready to die? Because the sinner, being 100, will be accursed. Now, there will be those who won't even reach 100 years. So how are they going to die? All right, let's read on. Verse 12, for they served the idols of which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. And the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets, by all the seers, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like the neck of their fathers, which did not believe the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes, and his covenant, which he had made with their fathers, and his warnings that he testified against them. And they went after vanity and became vain. Sound a little like Ecclesiastes? Yes, indeed. And went after the nations around them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them not to do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made molten images, two calves for themselves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. They used divination and sorceries and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. So what did God do? He removed them. Verse 23. Did all these evil things. Verse 18. Let's read that first. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. Not one was left, only the tribe of Judah itself. Then Judah did evil. So removing. Every time God does not destroy the wicked, he exiles them. Now, I think this will help us greatly if we put it all together to understand the rest of Revelation 20 pertaining to the end of the millennium. So let's come back there to Revelation 20, and let's read some of these verses and understand with what we have just covered. The righteous will enter into the kingdom of God when they are ready, being 100 years old. Now then, let's talk about those who reject the salvation of God. You can't leave them living with the righteous. They must be expelled. They must be sent off into exile. So let's see if we can make some sense out of these verses. Now, it talks about those of us in the first resurrection. The last sentence of verse 4, Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verse 4, the last sentence. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, notice this parenthetical inset statement here. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection, okay? That is referring to verse 4. Okay. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. Now remember, the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were completed. So there has to be a completion of the 1,000 years and a beginning of the 100-year last great day period. Be very similar to the millennium, only one-tenth of the time. Now, we read up here in verse 3 concerning Satan the devil, which is a fulfillment of the Day of Atonement. So let's go up here and read verse 3, and then we will come down and read verse 7 and see if we can put it all together to understand what we need to. And then he cast him, that is, the angel cast Satan into the abyss, locked him up, sealed the abyss over him. Now, wherever Satan is, also are all the demons. Because we know in Revelation, the 8th chapter, it talks about how demons are released out of the abyss. Now they're put back there with Satan the devil. Continuing now, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. And after that, it is ordained that he be loosed for a short time. Now, why? The answer has got to be this. In order to take care of the sinners sent into exile. Now, where were they sent? Well, verse 7 and 8 tell us. So let's come down and read, first of all, verse 7. Now, when the 1,000 years have been completed, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, it says for a short time. We don't know how long that is. Short time may refer to several years, maybe up to 3.5 years. Who knows? And he shall go out and deceive the nations, that is, those of the nations that are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Now then, we know the infamy of Gog and Magog because of what they did at the beginning of the millennium. So is it that God has reserved part of Gog and Magog as a place of exile for these of the last generation? Could very well be. Now, it's just like if you say, I am an American. Well, you could be from any nation, couldn't you? Yes, indeed. So likewise here, if it were just the people of Gog and Magog alone, then God would be a respecter of persons and would condemn them to death, condemn them to eternal death. No salvation, if it referred to just the people of Gog and Magog. But if it refers to the geographical area of Gog and Magog, then that could become, that part of Gog and Magog, the place of exile for the sinners in the last generation of the millennium to be sent to. Now, when sinners get all together, well, they're going to have to be living there. Now, will they repent and some be allowed to come back? We're not told. We don't know. But we do know those who remain there until the end of the millennium will be the sinners who have not repented. Now, what has to happen to all sinners who do not repent? Well, they have to die the second death, which means they have to live twice. So what is accomplished here by releasing Satan at this time and sending them to the area of Gog and Magog, where all the exiled sinners have been sent? And Satan gets there, and what's the first thing he does? The same thing he has always done. But this time he's going to appear as a savior to these people. And he's probably going to come and say, oh, you know that God down in Jerusalem? You know the one you didn't want to obey? Well, you were doing right in not obeying him. And I fought him before the 1,000 years began, and he temporarily overcame me and put me in a prison. And now I have been released. And now I am here to let you know I am your new leader, and I am really God, because I've always wanted to be God ever since that I began resisting this one down in Jerusalem who says he's the true God. Now, you know, we have to get ready and conquer them. So Satan again is going to teach them war. And notice what he's going to lead them to do. And of course, all the sinners are going to say, yay, that's right, let's do it. See, let's see what happens here. Okay, verse 8. He shall go out to deceive the nations. Already have rejected salvation. And this is from all the nations, wherever they may be, that are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, of whom the number is as the sand of the sea, to gather them together for war. Now, what's going to happen? They're all going to come up to fight. And here's Jerusalem, not defended. No walls, no soldiers, okay? So here they come, verse 9. Whenever they're ready, they will come. Then I saw them go up upon the breadth of the earth and encircle the camp of the saints. Now, maybe we're all there keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Who knows? Now, let's see what happens when they surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem. Notice, and fire came down from God out of heaven and consumed them. Now, let's think about that for just a minute. You're born, you live your life, you reject God, you're sent off into exile. Because the last generation, there are going to be a lot of people that will reject salvation. Just by the nature of people. Because God is never going to remove free choice. Then at the end of the millennium, how many ever are there? It says there are as the sand of the sea. Okay. That's an indescribable number. We don't know how many that will be. You would think that with God being there and the saints being there, that surely people would choose God's way. But there will be those who won't, just like it is today. Only they will be more culpable because Satan the devil will not have been around to deceive them when they were living in the flesh before they were exiled. Now, when they are consumed by the fire, what happens? They all die. That is their first death. So God accomplishes his purpose, fulfills his word, that the sinners who do not repent must die twice, and the second death is all of them together in the lake of fire. So what God has done here in doing this and saving Satan the devil for this last assignment is to bring the first death to all the incorrigible wicked at the end of the millennium, that last generation of those for that last 100-year segment that do not accept salvation, that reject God. They're sent off to Gog and Magog in exile. Then when Satan is loosed, Satan goes to them in Gog and Magog, stirs them up to war. However long it takes to make the weapons, do whatever they're going to do to make themselves ready for this battle and come down. And again, Satan trying to take over the throne of God, going all the way back to how Satan became Satan. All right? Now let's see what happens here. Verse 10. No. Yes. Consumes him. Now verse 10. And the devil who deceived them, see, because before the great white throne judgment begins, Satan must again be removed. Because all of those, as we will see tomorrow, who have lived the life in this world, lived in a world that was deceived by Satan the devil. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that God would subject them to another life under Satan the devil, resurrect them to a second life of flesh, and send them to the same circumstances that they were in their first life, in the flesh? No, living in a world run by Satan the devil for a lifetime is plenty enough for anyone. They don't need Satan the devil ever again. So this is why the judgment of Satan the devil comes, and he is once again removed before the rest of the dead live again. And the devil who deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet had been cast. And they, now it's plural in the Greek, they, the beast and the false prophet, already were consumed 1,000 years before. So they has to refer to Satan and the demons. So they, Satan and the demons, shall be tormented day and night into the ages of eternity. And we find in other scriptures that they are going to be placed in the blackest darkness forever. Makes you wonder, is that some gigantic black hole, which once they're in there, they can never get out? No, we don't know. We'll have to be there, and we will see. So that ends all the events of the millennium. The millennium is over. However long it took for Satan, after he's released, to bring the incorrigible wicked in exile and Gog and Magog down to war against Jerusalem, we don't know. We're not told. But the great white throne judgment cannot start until Satan is once again, with all the demons, removed forever. So for the rest of the knowledge of the Word of God, y'all come back tomorrow. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.